I'm Jared Carpenter, and this is More Than Blockchain. And originally today, I was going to get up here on my roof, and I was going to create an episode about why 0.1 Bitcoin is the future of generational wealth, and why if you have that much, if you're able to gift it to someone from Gen Alpha or the generation even after that, as they get older, then they're going to be super wealthy. But that was completely sidetracked when I saw a graph that was sent to me from a friend in Guatemala. And it was not a graph, I guess you could say it was an infographic. And I'm going to put it up here on the screen. And it shows extreme temperatures that are currently happening. And then I saw another infographic similar to this that someone else had put up, another friend of mine who's in Mexico. And another thing where there's fires happening. And more recently in Bogota, where I currently am, we actually had fires here on the mountains that are right next to me. And that's just because it is getting so warm that fires are starting to happen where they never happened before. And so while I wanted to talk about 0.1 Bitcoin being generational wealth and how cool that might be for people and how accessible that might be, the thing I actually want to talk about today is the climate and how I think digital ownership is going to be priceless moving forward. So if we go back to the Guatemala context and we even look at this graph that's on the screen here, it is getting extremely hot. For those of you who don't know, I've lived about 4.5 years of my life in Guatemala through different projects and different enterprises, essentially. And I'm fairly knowledgeable of that country, and I've lived there long enough to know what the seasons should be like. And that weather that you're seeing currently on the screen is unbelievable. That would be like for the Northeast, New York or Massachusetts, to get 100 plus days in a row in the summer. It would be concerning. It would be alarming. It would be something so out of the normal that you're just not prepared for it. The infrastructure isn't prepared for it. And so when I see that, and then I think about Guatemala in the context of Guatemala, 10% of their GDP, at least this is the figure that's in my head from, I think, 2021 or a couple of years ago, and this is normally a figure that is kind of stuck over the last couple of decades, 10% of the GDP of Guatemala is actually remittances sent down from the States due to how many Guatemalans have immigrated and moved to the States and are there working and then sending back dollars to help, you know, support their families back in Guatemala. And when I think about the future and I think about crypto and I think about Bitcoin, one of my greatest hopes is that it offers people who are in the most economically tough situations that we can think about, right? Who are experiencing day-to-day poverty, who don't know when they get up in the morning how they're going to get dinner at night. I'm hoping that crypto and Bitcoin and blockchain as a technology that backs these things offers them something that maybe they've never had access to. And that is the title of this particular episode, right? Digital ownership is priceless. There may not be a price for it because it may offer billions of people around the world the opportunity to actually own something. Because if you're watching this right now or you're listening to this on a podcast platform, the people that own the wealth in the world, whether you are a wealthy person or you know someone who's wealthy or you can think about people who are wealthy, if you think about Elon Musk, probably the wealthiest guy on the planet, it's because he has ownership in things, ownership in company. He owns stocks, right? People who have single family homes in the United States tend to be better off on the whole than people who are renting. This is because they have ownership and they have equity into something, right? They're using their home as a savings account. Even if you're just owning a home or you're owning stocks, ownership is so, so important. In the late words, and I'm going to TLDR this or too long didn't read and shorten this down, Prince always talked about his power as an artist was because he owned all his masters. They, you know, it wasn't Sony or Capitol Records that owned his masters. He had ownership. We know as humans intrinsically, ownership is a very, very powerful thing. But for so many around the world, they literally just don't have access to it. Whether they can't afford to buy a house and so they're going to have to rent, or they can't afford to even invest in the stock market, Bitcoin or crypto may give them the access that they need. And so when I look at this chart and I see these temperatures, I think two things. One, because of how many people are still farming in Guatemala to be able to eat and or to take that corn or whatever they're, you know, cultivating and then barter. When I see this, I think about, wow, that is going to affect the crop cycle. And if it affects the crop cycle, it's going to affect local commerce and people's ability to, you know, be able to feed themselves, right? And it makes me think of the other thing, right? Which is immigration. If the situation gets too desperate in Guatemala, people will leave and they'll look for more opportunity. This is what humans have done since day one. We move around and we search for opportunity wherever that we may be. And if you're thinking this is ridiculous in your stateside, and you maybe you have the privilege of not having to leave your home for opportunity, I guarantee if someone was going to offer you double your salary, you may move across the country to a new city, right? We move for opportunity. And I think moving forward, one of the biggest promises I see as someone who lived in Guatemala, and it's a place that has sent a lot of people to the United States, I think in the future, the promise of Bitcoin and crypto is going to offer immigrants and people who want to move to other places an amazing opportunity to own some digital ownership, right? You can now put $200 or $300 into Bitcoin or into crypto, memorize the seed phrase, and then move. And then when you get there, you can open up a new wallet, put in your seed phrase, and then have access to that economic energy. Because for so long in human history, thousands and thousands of years, if you had to leave where you're from, you would take everything in a backpack, in a suitcase, you would carry it, you would put it on a horse, on an ox, on a donkey, on a push cart, on a pull cart, whatever it was. And if you got robbed along the way, you might be left with nothing, right? These are your things. These are the things that you own. We're getting back to ownership. But now, Bitcoin and crypto and even NFTs, anything that's part of the blockchain-backed ecosystem, allows almost anyone on the planet, if you have an internet connection, to be able to access these permissionless protocols and protect your economic energy. And so, like I said, while I did want to talk about why 0.1 Bitcoin is generational wealth, I'm actually glad I was able to touch on this, because this is something that is near and dear to my heart. Thinking about immigrant populations, thinking about people that are going to have to migrate due to economic struggles, due to the climate crisis, changing things so much in their home country or their local area, or maybe they lose their home to the ocean, right? As we move forward, I think people are going to start to see the pricelessness, I don't know if that's a word, of digital ownership and see the power of it. Because I think migrant communities are going to continue to tap into crypto and blockchain-backed products to be able to not only send money as remittances, but then should they need to leave, use crypto to be able to protect their economic energy as they leave. I have talked to many people in Guatemala and just people around the world where they talk about, you know, if they're going to have to leave their home country to go to another place to try to seek an opportunity, and many times they're just carrying cash. So what happens if then they get held up? Central American migrants are constantly held up in Mexico on their way to the United States by gangs. And if all you have is that cash that you're carrying on you, you can all of a sudden find yourself in a very, very difficult situation. So moving forward, my greatest hope for crypto and Bitcoin is that it offers people who are experiencing poverty, people who are on the economic fringe, a way to have ownership. Ownership for centuries and millennia has been something of privilege, but my hope is that with crypto and Bitcoin and blockchain, it becomes more accessible to more people. So there you go. Thank you for kind of hearing me out. This is a little bit of a different episode, but it's something I've probably been wanting to share for a while, and seeing these graphs today really kind of hit home because I know how hot that is and how kind of out of the norm it may be, even if that is now the new normal, we could say. So if you enjoyed this episode, please go ahead and share it with a friend, family member, or colleague. As always, follow us on More Than Blockchain across socials. And no matter where you're listening to the podcast, go ahead and subscribe. If you're watching it on YouTube, please go ahead and subscribe. If you're listening to it on a podcast platform, please go ahead and subscribe. Thanks for checking out this episode of More Than Blockchain, and I'll see you next time.